And we're live.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 147 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. I'm Dan Nedelko.
Matt Stefanich, producer Matt.
And Justin Maciel.
All right. Welcome, gentlemen. Today's Live at the Hive after last week's interview with Frank.
Yeah, that was a great episode. A lot of people tuned in for that, and it was really insightful, and I think it was one of the bigger lives that we've had. So, yeah, it was awesome to see everyone out there join us, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to hear his insights.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's part of our interview series, is to find interesting people, kind of Joe Rogan style, and bring them on and just talk, right, without anything too scripted, and just kind of finding those things.
Yep.
So
you're getting better at interviewing.
I'm working on podcast career. It's my second career. Sell Honeypot and get into a podcast, and that's it.
Yeah, come on, Oprah.
Matt will be my young Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. Young Matt. We'll move we to see Houston. April there. Hey, April. Hey, Sashita.
Hey.
Hello, everybody. We'll just give it a couple minutes. It usually takes people a few minutes to file on in.
Mm-hmm. Hey, hello, there's Yvonne.
So today, while we wait, what we're talking about are how to develop a unique brand identity. And again, kind of overusing the word the new normal. But it really has substantially changed. This pandemic has changed a lot of things about how people are comfortable communicating and what it means for brand development. And I think we'll also start with some what traditional brand development looked like, and what I think a lot of businesses perceive brand development in a in probably a dated way. And what you can do, we've got some great examples of great big brands and great small brands that have managed to find a unique identity and voice on social media.
For sure. Yeah.
Cool. So where are we starting today, producer Matt? What do you want to do?
So today there's a few of the bees put in some through really insightful articles just to kind of lead into the discussion as we go through some examples later today. So first one that I want to show, let me just, this one has a lot of pop-ups on it. 1 second.
Yeah, how not to do a customer experience.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So this one's from Fresh Spark, and it's 11 simple steps for building a successful brand. So, I mean, a lot of people already have their brands established, but this is a really good resource to maybe go through yours as well as kind of like checking out all the boxes. Right. So here it kind of talks about brands being reputation. That's pretty obvious, but it goes towards like your online presence, you know, the environment of your store, your brand strategy, etc. So has some really good features in here for sure.
Yeah, I like that it talks about how branding isn't just visual. It's a lot of like how you communicate and how you talk to your customer. So that's what I really liked about this article.
Yeah. And I think it's going to touch on a lot of the things that we're going to go through today in how you should be looking at your brand. There's a famous quote in here. I think it's in this article too, is Jeff Bezos once said, your brand identity is what people say about your business when you're not in the room. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that couldn't be more accurate. Well, it probably could be, but it's really good.
For sure. And I think one of the, I like second point and the third point really well, because it really ties in together. But, you know, if you have an established brand and you notice that some of your competitors are kind of freshening up their look or optimizing the customer experience to reflect the branding better, I think people shouldn't be intimidated in gaining inspiration from a competitor or looking to see how a competitor is offering a certain experience to customers, because really, I mean, it'll just put you again in the forefront, in the spotlight, if you were already. But it also kind of helps, you know, create a little bit more competition in this space, and then it leads into like the brand targets, right? So like maybe, you know, your competitor is kind of tapping into an untapped market, and they're starting to realize that, and they're kind of adjusting their brands to maybe pull in that audience, right? Especially with COVID, a lot of people's audiences have expanded since COVID-19, right? So definitely doing those two things, if you're going to take anything out of this article, for sure, is definitely what I'd recommend.
Awesome. Yes, for sure. And I think there's a few good takeaways in here. We're going to cover a lot of them. I think, you know, one, obviously the brand buyer persona, the goals, motivations, pain points, that's absolutely critical in terms of where you start. And you can do it on a napkin, right? You don't need to have anything fancy to really get through that process. You know, if you don't go through that process and you're looking at the, you know, the old 18 to 65 males and females in Canada and the US, I mean, how is that message going to resonate to one specific
audience? For sure. Yeah. And especially for younger audiences too, like this point right here, establishing a brand mission statement. I think it's really important nowadays, especially with Gen Z being so active in activism as well as change within their own communities, is having a brand mission statement that resonates on a local level with people, so that, you know, when you are advertising or if you are trying to push a certain product or service, it doesn't seem like you're taking, right? It's that whole give and then take, right? So it's kind of positioning yourself in that sort of respects.
And to kind of go above, like that, like you said, Dan, with like age, you need to kind of go above that and look at personality. Who is that person? What are their interests? Rather than just being the age group, because nowadays everyone's so connected, the age group hardly really matters in a sense. It's now just, what are your interests? What are you doing? What are your activities? Who's that personality?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can speak to certain things. I think a 65-year-old is thinking about different things than a 21-year-old.
Well, yeah,
that's, maybe motivated quite differently. But understanding that there's that nuance to your message is extremely important. So, you know, just to take one step back, while yes, you know, you're absolutely, your brand mission statement is critical, and it should be very big picture. And even if you're a national company, you can think, you know, act globally, think, act, what is it? Think globally, act locally. That's the thing. Especially, obviously, good point, Matt, now during these times, communities are rallying together like they really never have, especially for small businesses that have been heavily affected negatively by this. So working on that brand mission statement, what are you trying to achieve? Designing and developing those personas honestly and realistically. And I just want to touch on one point quickly, is businesses need to look at social media apps and websites as communications platforms. They're not broadcast mediums. And that's a very important thing to consider, because what we often see are businesses will come in using a broadcast mentality of messaging. I'm just going to push this stuff to you, to my audience, however I can get it out, in a fairly square peg round hole scenario, which, you know, video on television is extremely different than video on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or TikTok. We're going to talk about those as well. So that's the first kind of mental gymnastics I think people need to, is to really start to treat these things as like more like a modern day telephone as opposed to a modern day TV.
For sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's a little bit of mental gymnastics for people, because they look at the timelines. And I would also argue that by and large, the timelines and the news feeds are dying out in favor of newer and far more innovative formats.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Hey, Sonia, we have a comment from Sonia. She says, "Hey there, thanks for sharing our brand building article on your live Honeypot Marketing."
Hey, of course. Sonia, you're welcome. Well, that's a big part of what we really like to do.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we have our own articles and stuff on our website too, but we really do like to kind of reach out to the community, find what we think are really well done articles and feature and showcase them, also other agencies, other local businesses, freelancers, influencers, etc. So you're very welcome, Sonia.
Absolutely.
Thanks for dropping a comment. We're happy that you're here.
for sure.
That's the most important.
For sure. All right. So now moving on. So now we kind of have the kind of steps of, you know, how to build that brand and stuff. So let's kind of look and see that in action. So the next article we have here is from HubSpot. Now, this is a 14-minute read if you want to take a deeper dive in it to yourself. But I think they have some really good branded ideas in here on how they really kind of hone in the 11 simple steps that we were talking about previously, right? So, I mean, with Coca-Cola, their branding's pretty iconic, but it's also very simple, right? The prints, the logo, even the bottles are uniquely shaped, and that all ties in to the whole brand experience of the company, right?
Sure. And I mean, that's an iconic, you know, century old brand for sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to dismiss, obviously, the notion of the visual brand identity development, right? Like, Justin, that's mm-hmm. a substantial thing that, well, we do quite a bit of it.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. And I find, like, the simpler, the better is almost in a sense, because it almost makes it more relatable to people. When you add too much, it makes people think too much, and then they don't feel as related to the brand. Or if you look mm-hmm. at the ones that do really well, like Coca-Cola, Nike, they are so simple, and they really know, it makes them more relatable. Like, you want to wear that nice little suit because it matches with everybody. It goes with everything, like that kind of notion, for just sure. to be more relatable.
For sure.
I think, absolutely. You know, while we're touching on the visual identity development, there's a couple of points, because I think, you know, Fresh Sparks, sorry,
yep.
article is really great. It dives into a lot of things that I'd like to talk about a lot, like Simon Sinek, start with the why, mm-hmm. everything else. And what I want to kind of do is kind of, with a halo effect, extend that out to the most extreme is like TikTok. What's going on? Billion yeah. downloads, still number one in every app store in the world, right? Like, it's insane. And what we've been seeing with things like TikTok is, I'm seeing major brands, big companies, small companies. Mm-hmm. It's gone beyond just you know, like musically and the dancing stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Charli D'Amelios of the world.
Yeah. Whatever.
Not my demographic. But the idea being is, and I like this example just to touch on visual brand identity and to extend a little bit about what you said, Justin, which is, I think the most important thing about your visual brand is that it resonates with your target persona and audience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's going to look really good to someone like Justin, for example, that's going to resonate with you, may not resonate with, you know, a 55-year-old grandmother in Nova Scotia,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah.
Right. And again, I think it's something to really put thought into, as the tip of the spear is really the visual identity, right? It's like mm-hmm. that's the yeah. thing that people see first,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
right? Help create that connection, and then refine it.
Yeah,
for sure.
If you look at Burt's Bees, for example, if you want to just scroll back up to, yeah, like for them, it's like you can tell they wanted to be. Their whole thing is they want to be more natural. They want to, like, really show that, like, it's just a person making honey in, like, their backyard. So they wanted to make the logo super intricate, very artsy. So you get that kind of vibe from it, right?
You feel like it's sure. made in somebody's, you know, backyard and in the woods.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
In a small town. It touches upon what their customer, their target audience is looking for, right? It's looking mm-hmm. for these responsibly sourced ingredients, right? They're looking for recyclable packaging. They're looking for, you know, green initiatives and things. And mm-hmm. it ties it all together. It's not creating like a flashy like logo or brand in terms of catching people's attention. It's staying natural to itself and what mm-hmm. their audience is looking for.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm going to bet. So Burt's Bees is, just for the record, is a massive company.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not a local mom and pop.
No. They have an interesting, if you just even throw up. So they do this very well. I will put this in. Oh, I'll just put it in the public comments, I guess. Who cares? There we go. Oh. Can you get that, Matt?
Yep.
Oh. Couple of StreamYard issues, but there we go. So there's Burt's Bees. Now, interesting. This was kind of my point about really well done brand identity development. You see from the HubSpot article that a lot of their branding does have that homey, down home quality feel.
Yeah.
Their persona on demographic on Instagram is quite obviously going towards a young female demographic, mm-hmm. right? Because those are the major users on Instagram, and that's how they can target. Very different brand identity on Instagram than you see through some of their, you know, in-store print or whatever else they might be doing. So mm-hmm. there you go. It's very modern and catchy, right?
Yeah, and I mean, even from Facebook too, like the difference between Facebook and Instagram is I mean, look at it, like even the creative's different, right? It's mm-hmm. it's not showing as many people, but more showing the products and, you know, what the products can do and their green initiatives. So it's a very interesting.
Yeah, this is a totally random example. We did not plan this at all.
No.
Yeah, but this is actually perfect. Like, it really shows how, like, for Instagram, it's all visual. You got to mm-hmm. get that, like, nice, like, you see every person with hardly any makeup on. It's all, like, very neutral, mm-hmm. very sleek to the newsfeed of Instagram. And then you go to Facebook and you got the product is all there with those kind of nice visuals. You hardly see any people because that's usually what people are there Facebook for. You see that little cute little gifts. That's mm-hmm. definitely does better on Facebook.
For sure. Justin. This is a really good identification that Burt's Bees, whoever's doing their socialers, put that together, has identified different personas for different social media platforms. Instagram's mm-hmm. much younger. You can see that the images there all feature younger women. On Facebook, which skews to a higher age demographic, especially these days, is a very different, almost more like socially conscious, socially aware, something that probably people that are slightly older, not that young people don't care about that, I shouldn't say that, but they haven't just slapped something down, pushed it out onto Instagram, then push it out onto Facebook, which mm-hmm. is really good to see.
Yeah, but they've made it look like they did, which is the key.
Well, there you go. So Stacey's saying, maybe I'm all rainbows and unicorns, but I love it when a brand logo makes you feel something. Anyone can slap a shape with text, but how does that image make you feel, and how is it authentic to what the brand is all about?
That can be different for everyone. I find when it comes to, like, if you see any kind of fashion brands and stuff, the simpler the better. And it's just you want that weird little shape, mm-hmm. and then people are happy. But when it comes to, like, something like skincare, stuff like that, people want something more intricate. They want something like, so to me, that all depends on who you're dealing with.
For sure. And again, it's all about understanding who your audience is, right? Mm-hmm. I just changed the theme in the middle of the live, by the way. I like the way the other comments look better than the
it defaults. It defaults every time we load it, so you're gonna have to change it every time. It won't save, but yeah, they do look cleaner, eh?
Yeah. Alrighty. So moving right along. So we've talked a little bit. I mean, and I think these examples are good and they resonate. And again, we're gonna feature some really big brands, but we're also gonna feature some small companies, some of whom we know, some of whom we're friends with, because mm-hmm. I think even though they don't have big budgets and some of them are running their social themselves, they figured out a way to double down in a practical way mm-hmm. on a very similar kind of concept that Burt's Bees, which is obviously going to have a multi-million dollar budget associated with their teams and everything else. So you don't actually need all of that in order to be successful developing your brand identity. Because you have the David versus Goliath tools, right? Mm-hmm. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and TikTok, especially TikTok.
Cause yeah.
Just ridiculous with mm-hmm. their organic reach.
For sure. Huh? Cool. So let's dive into the last little bit of examples that we have on the live, and then we can kind of talk about their different what makes each unique, what they tap into differently than the others. So mm-hmm. Let's dive into those Twitter examples that we have, Dan, on here.
Sure.
Just going to pull up. Let's start off. Do you want to start off with Wendy's? We'll feature Wendy's. It's always one of the best ones.
It is always one of the best. So, you know, Wendy's has several different brand personas. I think their strongest and most popular is the persona that they've built around their social media profile. Mm-hmm. Somewhat salty at times, definitely dry humor, definitely prankster, but entertaining. And mm-hmm. I think the important thing here is that they're very much and you know, from a visual branding, here's a maybe that even the video that is a yep. commercial, but it to me looks like it has been designed for social media. And there's a few key elements I want to talk about in terms of why it would be designed for social media, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this looks like it's bespoke and custom made for social, including horizontal movement like that, because everything is vertical, catches the viewer's eye, right? Yep. And it's, if you notice, there's uneven motion throughout. It doesn't have one consistent speed. Those are called pattern interrupts. You'll see them all sorts of places in YouTube, for example. And a pattern interrupt, because we have such a limited amount of attention spans, or they're extremely limited attention spans. So by doing the pattern interrupt, you keep people watching right through to the end. Mm-hmm. They do four pattern interrupts inside that one video. And you can do the same thing in your video. You'll see it all the time on YouTube videos, for example, be like, you know, an emoji popping up or a really quick switch from one angle to another, right?
Yep.
So again, another example of how to build, they're building this identity. I mean, it's a brilliant, whoever's managing it, I'm not sure if it's a team,
yeah.
but they're really quick on their feet.
That's yeah, awesome. For sure. And I think that they tap into something uniquely that other brands don't. And no, I mean, like, yes, like their actual tweets that they have on a day-to-day basis, they're structured. They might not have as much zing as other ones do. Mm-hmm. But like they tap into the replies, and like a lot of people, like, and it's throughout the day, it's just not through mm-hmm. like in the morning or afternoon, but they're constantly engaging with people who at them on Twitter, and whether it's like people complimenting like their lemonade, right? Or, you know, there's a few down here that people love, like Corsair, like rather slide into your DMs, and they're replying to the hamburger one that we just saw, right? So
yeah.
it's playful. It's tapping into different audiences, like Corsair and Wendy's. Why would those brands even interact with each other? They're on the totally opposite spectrum, right? Yet we see them here interacting with each other's tweets and stuff, right?
I think Wendy's would love to have a huge footing in the gaming world, for sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure, right? I'm sure.
Yeah. I think you touched on something really important there, Matt, which is collaboration.
Yeah.
And this goes to the fact that social media is a communications tool. It's not a broadcast medium. So please stop just using it and thinking about your content schedule that you post to your timeline, right? Mm-hmm. Or to however you're building out your schedule. In a sense, there's a bit of an epidemic in the world of digital marketing, because I think a lot of people in social media look at the content calendar as the end,
yeah.
right? And the point of creating a content calendar, whether you use Hootsuite or Buffer or Sprinklr or whatever, because there's a million different tools now, mm-hmm. is the content scheduling facility is only there to help you offload rather than to replace your primary function, which should be the interaction.
For right? sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, you can see here Wendy's on August 11th there. So we're going to actually talk about Fall Guys game. But out of nowhere, Fall Guys just... Obviously, this is clout chasing, but it's well done clout chasing. So, you know, why not? Actually, probably not so much clout chasing now, to be honest with you. What's Wendy's at?
Wendy's is at 3.7 million. Fall Guys is at 1.4.
Okay, but by velocity, it's not even a fair fight, because Fall Guys game is in like 3 or 4 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, they right? joined May 2019. Yeah. Wendy's joined July 2009.
Yeah, so Fall Guys is fairly new, and they didn't have much activity, and then they just exploded. But really good example of Fall Guys tweeting at Wendy's, Wendy's tweeting at Fall Guys. Then they get into a pattern of it, because there's several of these mm-hmm. tweets. Mm-hmm. Find, and here's a tip for smaller businesses, is just find some relatable brands that you can start to talk to and do the same thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to have, you know, 10,000 followers or 1,000 followers, and probably you're not going to get the attention of Wendy's unless you do something really good or really outstanding. But it always works well for people that are of similar sizes to help with that network effect. And again, it just helps with that network effect. And this is all very new to style brand identity. About what's your identity? Who do you align with, right? Like the old saying that your friends say a lot about you, right?
Yeah.
Who you keep company. So there's that. The other interesting thing that I just noticed as well is, so Wendy's has a Twitch channel, so video game streaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one's interesting. I don't know if you can get down on August 13th, or I can give you the direct tweet if you want. I don't know if you
get it. August 13th?
Yep, we're going to check out our stream here.
Yep, right here.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to actually check out the stream. I was just kind of, it's really small on the screen there, but if you look at the Wendy's logo or girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She, not there, but she's got a gaming headset on her avatar.
Yep.
Right? So just a good example, right, Justin, of being flexible with it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, they're on Twitch. You may as well make her look like a gamer, right? That's part of the part of the brand. You gotta mm-hmm. do it. Yeah. I'm surprised they don't have her with the headphones in the actual streams, though. That
they should yeah, me too.
Well, there's a bit of a miss on that one. Perfect. Maybe they're creating
it
and you get it in time or something.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe.
Who knows? So yes, don't be afraid to go into other areas if you've got the time and the resources to be able to do that kind of thing. Actually, we had talked about that too, is creating a team and streaming us, because a lot of us are video are gamers, right? So we've also got a few people watching on YouTube right now. Welcome,
Smash. Hey YouTube fam.
Yeah,
welcome.
Yeah. So yeah, don't be afraid to venture out into these alternate, maybe not as obvious channels to help build your brand and your brand identity. If it fits with who you want to and how you want to be perceived, then absolutely go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for Why sure. Not? Yep.
I think okay. I think we had Fall Guys next, actually, Matt.
Oh, did we? Yep.
The Fall Guys is a fun brand to begin with. It's such a fun game to play off of.
Yeah. Yep. Now, whoever's running it is also teaching a masterclass in engagement, sense of humor, what the game is all about. So besides Cuphead, this is arguably one of the most frustrating games to play. I heard it said before, is like, there's no calmness and serenity in Fall Guys. There's no such thing. Like, it's not how it gets played.
Mm-hmm.
It gets played by like screaming and yelling at the screen and, kind of this is what it is. This is there's actually a really good interview with the developers, and none of this is by accident, just to touch on this, is they watched thousands of videos of little kids playing, like before recess, and then when they ran out into the yards and different games that they would play. That's how they modeled it. But if you notice one thing about Fall Guys game that's very interesting, is that every single game starts out in an extremely ordered pattern. Right? Everybody's in their little spot, in their little grid. In between games, you're in your little box. As soon as that buzzer goes, absolute chaos is unleashed every single time.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
That is part of their game. It's also part of their brand identity. And the frustration of the game is intentional, without becoming so frustrated that you don't want to play.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing here from a brand identity perspective is, if you go through the stream, they've got several comments. They're very salty. They'll make fun of people. So Tim the Tapman is a very well-known Twitch streamer. This turned into an international event. It was on ESPN.com, and it was being covered everywhere, is that this professional streamer, who's also a very good Warzone player, absolutely could not get a win in Fall Guys, and he's just a very engaging personality, right? But from this perspective, this is Fall Guys game not being like, oh, I'm like, don't be apologetic for something that's designed into the game, especially on channels like Twitter and Twitch and things like that, right?
Yep.
We've got our our old friend Paul from Automobile. Hey, Dan, Matt, and Justin, happy Friday. Hey. Make me feel guilty in a good way for not following up more closely after we post our social media. Sorry, Paul, we didn't actually mean to make you feel bad about that, but hopefully that's a good little takeaway. Not our intention to low-key anybody on and bring them down on a Friday.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Just to circle back here, April's got a comment. Wendy's always takes the opportunity to hop on trends. Their social media is frequently communicating with their audience. They're always engaging. And it makes them fun. They've done a really excellent job embedding themselves everywhere. Forget Arby's. I'm thinking Wendy's. Ooh.
Ooh. Oof. Shots fired. Ooh.
Shots fired. Shots fired. Yep.
It would be amazing to try to figure out what the actual impact of Wendy's so successful Twitter account specifically has had on their business. Like when they launch something, they've never really said, as far as I know, because they do launch like Twitter only promos and things like that, is what's the uptake? I'm sure it's massive for their bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of commanding an army, as it were, of fans. I guess the one thing with the Fall Guys thing I just wanted to kind of talk about is their product, which is their video game, is intended to be frustrating and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's intended that a 6-year-old could beat a professional gamer, right?
Yeah.
It levels many playing fields. It's a very non-obvious type of game. So therefore, in their brand identity on their Twitter account and what they do, and they do it across the other channels too, but Twitter's a big one for them, is they post fails and gamer rages and they tease people and they, you know, they'll throw shade back at people. Like they threw a ton of shade back at Tim the Tap Man. Mm-hmm. I think even, I'm not sure if they were throwing shade, but they had some bad server issues when they first started up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, like they have this one here. I think they had server issues and someone commented, I love Fall Guys Twitter. They're literally handling life as it comes at them, like the rest of us. And then they say, lol, I'm trying. So it's like they're making fun of that, right?
Yeah.
Very, very relatable, right?
Like, yep.
It's hard because that gamer personality is very much like, if you make fun of them, they want to try again and they want to like go back again. Like, I'm going to win this time because they chirped me, blah, blah, blah. So it matches their persona like really well.
Yeah. So there's a couple of other cool things that they've done because obviously they could have whoever's running their Twitter literally all day. Like that's it. So they actually created BeanBot, which is obviously their scheduling tool, right? And then when they have messages now that are server messages, they put in square brackets, not BeanBot.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then, so you know if it's a scheduled post or not a scheduled post, that's kind of the curse of a highly engaged social media profile is that, you know, it's tough to keep up with, especially if you're really big.
For sure,
The last good one that I like, and if you don't know Fall Guys game, there's a game in it called DoorDash where there are fake doors and doors that look like they won't open. So one of their tips, again, this is them with the sarcastic sense of humor, BeanBot tip for DoorDash, avoid the fake doors, BeanBot. Right? Well, this is a really great example, I think, of, again, this is a small company, right? Like this is, Mediatonic is not... well, they're probably going to be substantially larger soon, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a small indie development shop in, I believe, the UK? I don't know. Maybe they're in the UK.
I think they're. Yeah, I think they're in the UK.
I'm not sure. It doesn't really.
It's kind London. Of
but yeah, there's another good example there. I know we're looking pretty Twitter-centric, so why don't we, because we're... we're going to quickly run out of time.
Yep.
Why don't we pull up some of our local friends that we've seen some really great examples of how smaller businesses can develop a strong personality on their own. And these are our friends over at Westmount Signs. Now, the interesting thing about what they do is they're very interactive. They also use like their DMs and things like that. Mm-hmm. They not only show their finished work, which is great. They have a lot of community, but they celebrate their customers a lot.
Yep.
So they feature their customers, they feature their businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really great way obviously they're a local business, so the region is critically important for them. But you could see they everything from, you know, little chalkboard sign to business cards to what I'm sure are very expensive signs, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They also are heavily involved in the community. Like they're at events and they, they probably won't have a ton right now, but I know for a fact that like from events, they would support those events, throughout. So just a really nice way of using, I love the idea of featuring others on social and on things like lives. That's another one of the reasons why we don't just feature our own articles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we have is featuring others. So I thought that was a really nice example there.
For sure. I think we have a Whiskey Run golf club.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Whiskey Run is in, I always forget the name of it, outside of Niagara Falls. Darn it. Niagara region, but more towards Welland, the canal. Welland.
Yeah,
Welland.
Totally.
There we go. Whew. Smaller community, smaller golf club. The mm-hmm. thing that they've done very, very well, the dude in the green shirt, he is a personality of some sort. He's obviously very comfortable behind the camera. Lots of Twitter video, lots of local mm-hmm. interactions. I've watched a bunch of their stuff. So you can see that one with the barrel. There he's flipping it. So he'll call people. They'll have these... they'll have these contests on the air. Now, obviously, they're gearing this for their own audience, not a huge population down in Welland, right? Mm-hmm. So they do things like these local member contests, and they call them on, like, on the air, on the video, and you can hear them talking with their members, and it's like, oh, can Doug do this? And they'll be like, no, right? So it's much more personal. Mm-hmm. The budget required for this, realistically, it's probably a shotgun mic, a camera, some basic editing tools. You can see they're very organic. They're very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the great thing that they're doing is they're pulling in their local community and engaging with their local community using Instagram, right?
Yep.
You don't have to try to be Kim Kardashian and just try to, like, if you're in a small community and that's your target audience, then you should technically have a smaller following.
Yeah.
And that should be
okay. And that's okay. Yeah. That's totally okay. I think, look, if you're in a small community and you have like a small customer base or a small following, it's okay to have that small social media because, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be getting engagement from the people that you want to be getting engagement from. You don't want to get any noise or any outside interference, right?
And if you're,
they're the people close by, right? So they're mm-hmm. the ones that are most likely going to be golfing there. They're the ones that you actually fully want to reach out to, because those are the people that are going to come. They're
not and it's interesting to say, because, you know, you might be getting like more people coming to your business, especially if you're a golf club, when COVID-19 is not around. But now when COVID-19 is here, you're really relying on your local customer base to fill in that gap that tourism would kind of fill, right? So it's really good to make sure that you're not, if you're in tourism or if you're in a place where, you know, tourism is the lifeblood of the town, you want to make sure that you're just not catering to the tourists. You want to make sure that you're catering to your community and your neighbors, because in the long run, they're the ones who are also going to be supporting you through good times or bad.
For sure. And I think the other important thing is, if you are a smaller, and let's be realistic, most business channels like this, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or TikTok or whatever, mm-hmm. Is going to be a smaller brand, right? You're going to have a smaller following. If you are a smaller brand and you're looking, like, quite often when we develop brand new brands and brand new products, which we do, we're starting from ground zero. Like, you start with zero and mm-hmm. then you get 10 and then you get 100 and then you get 1,000. Like, you work it, right?
Yeah.
And the idea is, if you are a smaller brand with a smaller audience, lean into that smaller audience. Find other brands that are the same size. Do searches and find people, like if you're a Paul at Automobile, I would do Twitter searches and I would do Facebook searches for people asking questions, potentially join groups on new vehicles and start to interact and answer people legitimately. That's one of the best ways to build that audience. And just, yeah. You know what? It's Greco-Roman wrestling. It's just like you grab the person and you get them over there. And it's a mindset mentality as opposed to saying, well, I could potentially have 4 million, right? Followers, but you know, the old saying goes is how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Like that doesn't change. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So kind of thinking that way is a good way to think.
For sure.
Let's see here. Yeah.
We have that video. Do you want to show that video on TikTok yet?
We can jump around a little bit. It's like 4:55 on a...
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if this happened to anybody else this week, but there's parts of me that hate long weekends because it doesn't feel like you get a break. It's just you fit 5 days of work into four.
In four. Yeah.
I don't know. Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Either that or we move to a 3-day weekend permanently nationwide. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that fix anything, to be honest. They probably just drag out the 5 days and 4 days.
That's true. This is a Tuesday was just like I felt like I was like standing watching a tsunami that just like smacked me in the face.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so TikTok, before we actually play this, and it's probably going to be a little jittery for people watching right now, is do not dismiss TikTok as a thing for 16-year-old girls that like to dance, okay? They're definitely, that's a huge thing. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But the more that you get into TikTok, you'll see that there are billions of people. And this is a perfect example of, this is a real estate agent. I literally just ran into him, don't have any clue who this person is. But I thought that this was really well done. Go ahead. Maybe let's play it and then we'll...
Okay.
You're welcome, Paul, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to be able to...
I don't know if we'll get the sound.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what? It doesn't really matter. He's literally just talking. Now, it's a little jittery here, but that is... I'm pretty sure that is a GoPro. Hero 7 or Hero 8. So, yeah, like $299, right? Yep. Not a you know, multi-million dollar camera by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have that screenshot? This is the thing that got me. Number one, simple camera, beautiful property for sure. But this could be a whole series. What can I get for $250K in Cambridge? What can I get for $500,000 in Waterloo?
Yeah, the editing's simple. There's some emojis.
Yeah.
It zoomed out a little bit too far there for us.
I think you might have to download it. And anyways, I was scrolling through these comments because I thought it was interesting. I had about 440 some odd comments there. And I don't know if you're able to, are you able to zoom in on that? There we go.
No. There you go.
Okay. So look at this. So I should be looking in Aurelia. I was born there. What's your price range, brother? Right? Mm-hmm. Here's a great example. Real estate agents are usually like very formal and very up. This real estate agent is talking to people. There's a lot of jokes earlier in the thread about Aurelia itself. He kind of does an LOL, keeps chuckling, right? For people that it's people that live there.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, my family's house budget is 500K. In that thread, I believe he booked a bunch of new people, like as like
wow,
to find them homes through one Twitter post. Or Twitter, TikTok post. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So TikTok, get in there now. Like, get in there ASAP. In 4 days, nothing's going to happen. They're not going to shut down TikTok. Give me a break. I think that's political showmanship. That's really all that comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
It's Trump wanting to be the tough guy, right, against the Chinese. And, I mean, then Joe Biden sees... the Vice President Mike Pence elbow smashing each other. Hey, buddy. Right. That's just how those people work. And anyways, I guess the point being is that TikTok is a massive opportunity to do very different types of content. Like you can go way out there.
Yeah.
And I like that randomly came up on my For You page while I was trying to find examples.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, is there any way to, like, I wish you could manipulate the TikTok algorithm. I don't care to see Charli D'Amelio dancing.
Yeah.
Have you watched too many of her? Because that's
I haven't. No. I swear.
I don't get any of her. I won't.
No? Maybe it's just time. I haven't, you know what? My TikTok use has been very infrequent. Like, super infrequent. Like, weeks on end, I've got one post. I'll log in and open it up once every 10 days, to be honest.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to start doing it more, but maybe I have to warm up that algorithm because maybe it does reset.
Yeah. Totally. I'm more.
If you don't log in for like 10 days,
I'm going to reset probably.
It reset to default, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I find it does that. Sometimes that's good, but sometimes it's bad.
Yeah. I'm more of a Twitter guy myself, so I'm not on TikTok very much. But
for a businesses from a business's point of view, so TikTok useful. Is a fantastic
it's
way.
It's awesome.
And the organic reach is amazing.
Warming
up your algorithm. Hey, you know what? I mean, warming up, that's part of what we do with Instagram accounts and things like that, by logging in directly and using it on the phone as opposed
posting to natively.
Posting natively. The one thing I will say about TikTok that's really interesting from a branding perspective is, and I was just messing around. I posted my first TikTok, which is absolutely terrible, but whatever, is the features allow you as a brand to actually like react. You can do reaction videos to people in your audience that are maybe your customers, and you can do it in a funny way, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of very interesting features that I'm sure Reels will try to rip off as soon as they possibly can roll it out, like Instagram. But I do think that TikTok is a very unique app in terms of the functions that they've put in there. They really did kind of blaze a lot of trails by moving the next level of this to the next level of effectively the story, right? You know, the other nice thing from a branding perspective, and I don't know why every platform doesn't do this, is they license all of that music and allow the community to use it for free, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think every platform should do that. And from a brand's perspective, you can then use top 40 music to, right? Which you'd never be able to do.
And I find it really helps the artists. Like, you find a lot of artists now have been getting boosted from like a TikTok song getting trending.
Well, even on Twitch too. I know a couple weeks ago, Twitch got into a big thing where people were using unlicensed music on their platform, and some artists actually came out and said, "No, you can use my music. I don't care. I won't like file any complaints because it's so effective on distribution."
The problem is lots of artists don't own their own rights, right?
Yeah.
And so it's these big giant legal corporations coming in. I definitely think that it would be in all of their best interest to, I mean, I don't see why Facebook and Instagram wouldn't be able to create a licensing deal if TikTok could do it. I mean, regardless of who's behind TikTok, like ByteDance, Facebook is just as big. They've got the capability to do it. Mm-hmm. And it would make it engaging. And the last thing I think about TikTok is there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. I know it does. It really does have this notion of young girls and kids doing dance videos and sometimes like karaoke voiceovers, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the more that you delve into it, you'll see, like, for example, another huge part of TikTok are pranks on dads. I get a ton of those, and that's probably me. There's some big profiles, and all they do is tell their dad terrible jokes. React, and then he gets mad, but there's tons of them. There's a huge contingent of police officers, right? K9 Mattis out in Oakville is a really good example. He's got the dog, right? So but he does all sorts of stuff with them, right?
Yeah.
So although TikTok is like, oh, Gen Z, there's a lot more than Gen Z that's very, very, very popular out there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if the notion is my audience isn't on there, I would argue no way. Like, there's a huge automotive contingent out there, bikers and people that are into cars. I get a lot of that too. Yeah. So you've got opportunity there for a very unique, and then with all these other tools, plus the music, plus being able to do reactions very, very easily. Like, how easy is it to share something on Instagram? Mm-hmm. You got to get a third party app. Right, then you got to go repost it, copy it, open it, close it, put it in yours, then copy, then it's going to brand. Like, give me a break. I do it all the time, but
it's so true. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And TikTok even makes it easy to share. Like, if you find a good TikTok to share on other social medias in like a second.
I was laughing, and we can wrap it up shortly, but this is just an interesting thing. I'm not a fan of how Instagram and Facebook implemented Reels. It's just like another feature inside of an already super confusing UX, right?
Yeah.
Like, unless you're using Instagram every day, you're going to get lost in there. Like, it's very non-obvious. I somehow find TikTok to be relatively easy to understand.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I think that in order to be truly successful, Reels should have been a standalone app, not just another feature within. But I was laughing because when Reels came out, I was obviously trying to watch the Reels. Like, 90% of everything I saw were TikToks.
Yep, just reposted.
Yeah. And it's like, I got to think that people at TikTok are like, thanks, Insta.
Thanks
for copying. Oh, yeah.
Slapped our logo and their usernames on, you know, millions of Instagram profiles now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Interesting to watch, interesting to see. But I think that the other problem with Reels is that it's just using the Instagram algorithm. TikTok has a completely different algorithm, and you can see they've created TikTok to promote. It's like, well, I can't use that analogy, or I shouldn't, but it's like that first little taste, right? This is what they do. They'll take small profiles and they'll dump them in the For You page for whatever reason. They'll get tens of thousands, sometimes millions of views.
Yep.
And then you have just had your first taste of fame. And now you're going to create content like crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And Instagram is not that at all.
No.
Instagram is a very different algorithm that really does favor big channels. And it's hard to get big now on Instagram when it used to be much, much easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I find even like when I'm on Instagram on my newsfeed, I hardly see my friends. It's only like the big accounts that like I follow that are mainly on my newsfeed.
And they were supposed to change that. I know a couple of months ago we were talking about a change of Instagram's algorithm where they were going to put the newest posts up first, but I haven't seen that happen yet. It's still, you're right. It's all the big brands, the big followers and things like that. And I don't see anything from my friends anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of that is it's moving into stories, right?
Yeah.
I moved a lot of that into stories. I don't know. Instagram is interesting. It's going to be interesting with the integrated checkout, right? For full purchases.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like we know why all of the founders of those apps at WhatsApp, all of the founders at Instagram, you can see why they left, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that Facebook and Instagram have turned into like the CompuServe or America Online of social media apps.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't make sense to you guys, back in the day, you used to have to get like your America Online or CompuServe disc. And then you'd be on CompuServe and they have all these different services, like all sorts of stuff, right? It was basically like a Craigslist and a forum and websites and things all within CompuServe. And then you'd have to, do this magical thing to go out on the real internet, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And it became a met, like you'd log in and there's like, you can do 10,000 things here, which means you can do nothing, right? And they're shoving more features into like an Insta that don't really belong there, which kind of defeats the purpose of the simplicity of the initial app anyway.
Yeah. They're just jamming so much stuff in there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's good. It is getting a bit crazy. And you can see when people go to Facebook on a desktop, if they haven't done it in a while, they're like, what is, I'm on it all the time. So I'm getting used to it. The new interface. But most people are solely mobile. They go to a desktop and they have no idea what they're looking at anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, we kind of dove into the TikTok world, but I hope we kind of achieved our goal of taking a slightly different take on what brand identity means beyond the obvious visual.
Yep.
Especially in the times that we're living in. And just a couple of key takeaways. Please look at your social media as communications platforms. They're not broadcast platforms. So use the communications tools to build your right-sized audience, right?
Absolutely.
And then get on TikTok and do stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess to some degree, if you were to creep somebody's TikTok, it probably says a lot about them, doesn't it?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do truth or dare. Will you show your TikTok timeline to the world?
Yeah, I guess, right?
No.
Mine's all animal fails. I don't know
what All right. All right, everybody. Well, great live today, gentlemen. Thank you for, for that.
For sure.
Thanks to everybody that's joined us. We had another really good turnout today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's supposed to be nice. We've had like October weather in September. It's been kind of gross. But I think it's supposed to be relatively nice up through to, it might rain or something, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, enjoy your weekend, everybody. And we will catch you on episode 148 next Friday. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yep.
Yes.
See ya. See ya.